It's about how it feels, right? Connie's over there talking trash. She was like, he didn't do nothing. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm sitting down. The back of my knee still hurts. How to get just right for y'all. This actually feels really good right here on the backside. So that's why I do it. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. And today we're going to be talking in Luke 15. And we're going to be talking about the parables. Two of them for you. And I titled today, What Do We Do With The Good News Of Jesus? What do we do with the good news of Jesus? And we talked about this last week because, remember last week what we talked about? We talked about we have a reason to celebrate because our Savior Jesus was born. We have a reason to celebrate because our Savior Jesus has completed our salvation. And we have a reason to celebrate because our Savior Jesus is coming back for us. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 15. I know y'all are probably already there. Y'all let me catch up. Luke 15. And it's called the parable of the lost sheep. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 and we'll open up together. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we stand before you in awe, Father God, of what all you do and what all you can, Father God, accomplish. We know that, Father, we're simply your hands and feet. That, God, we are specks. And that, Father God, Lord, our prayer is just like Trey talked about and Leslie talked about, to be the cornerstone, Father God. We know you're that. But, Lord, we want to be laid straight. Lord, I pray, God, that you will be with us this morning as we look at your word, as we help understand it, as, Lord, as we help apply it to our lives, to whoever may be in here this morning who may need to hear it. Lord, you put everybody here who needs to be here without a doubt. If there's a reason they're supposed to be here, Father God, you see fit, it'll happen. We're firm. We know, God, you're in control. We know, God, you go ahead of us even before we ask. We know, God, that you have your hands right on top of us. Lord, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who was the perfect example for us. Now, Lord, be with us as we look at your word, as we study it, Father. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. We always have a reason to celebrate when it comes to Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Yesterday we celebrated the birth of our Savior Jesus, and I'm sure every single one of you in here might have given or received a gift. Is that true? Besides Larry. But what did you give Jesus yesterday? Amen. Good. Praise. Very good. Did you ask him what you could do for him that day? Did you think about that?
We sang happy birthday to him.
Amen. Very good. At 12 o'clock, getting my days and my nights mixed up, but the first thing I heard at midnight, and we had been up wrapping presents, was my oldest daughter, when it hit 12:01, said, "Happy birthday, Jesus!"
I thought you
were
asleep. He wasn't rapping, he wasn't
asleep. I was trying to go to sleep. You see how mean they are to me? But y'all see, and I said, yeah, happy birthday, Jesus. That's exactly right. Now, we have to remember, too, that when we think about that, God gives us a simple message in Matthew 22, 37. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It's the first and the greatest commandment that he gives to each of us. And it's that simple. Love the Lord your God, right? But when we look at Luke 15, we see how Jesus feels about us when we come to him. When we are lost, and then we are then found. Look at what 3 through 7 says with me real quick. 15, 3 through 7. He says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. More celebration over one sinner who repents. I don't know if y'all remember this several years back, but it was at an Easter thing we had done. And Garner was here, and he had a little McLaurin sitting down here. And I had taken a $100 bill, and we were in the middle of Lottie Moon again. And I had taken a $100 bill down there in front of him. He was a young kid, probably 10 years old. I had it out, and it was all crisp and clean. It was one of them pretty ones, you know what I mean? And I said, what's this worth? He said, that's worth $100. I said, yeah, it's a lot of money, right? It is to me. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of money. A lot of money to all of us, really. But then I took it, and I crumpled it up in my hands. And then I put it on the floor, and I stomped on it. And I said, what's it worth now? He said, $100. I said, it didn't change value? He said, no. I said, but I stepped on it. Doesn't matter. Still $100. Can I have it? No, no, no. So I took it and I wadded it back out and I flattened it out the best I could. And I said, you still think it's worth $100? He said, it's worth $100 still. You've done nothing to it. I said, that's how Christ feels about us. When we feel all crumpled and crushed and stepped on, our value never changes. That Jesus loves us just the same whenever we mess up. Do we need to repent? Absolutely. Do we need to come for him and pour our hearts out and ask forgiveness? Yes, we do. That's part of the relationship with Christ. That's the whole reason he was sent. That next little section right there, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And God wants us all to know his son Jesus and the love that he has for us. But this morning, I want to share a story with you that I really want you to consider about the lost sheep. And Benny Atchison sent me this story, and I couldn't help, but it really touched my heart. So I want y'all to follow along with me. And I want to see if, when I'm done, if this parable right here that we just read is more crystal clear to you than it has ever been before in your life. Okay? Deal? Here we go. It was once a man who didn't believe in Christ or the spiritual message of Christmas and was overall skeptical about God. But he and his family, they lived in a farm community, and his wife was a devout believer. Diligently raised her children in the faith, and he sometimes gave her a hard time about her faith and mocked her observance of Christmas. He'd say, "It's all nonsense. It's all just nonsense. Why would God lower himself and become a human like us? It's such a ridiculous story," he said. So one snowy day, she and the children left for church while he stayed home. And after they had left, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blinding snowstorm. And he had just sat down to relax before the fire, before the evening. And then he heard a loud thump, something hitting against the window, and then another thump, boom, boom. He looked outside, but he couldn't see, so he ended up having to venture outside to see what was happening around him. He said in the field near his house, he saw one of the strangest things. It was a flock of geese. They were apparently flying to look for a warmer area down south, but caught in the snowstorm. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't have nowhere to go. So the storm had become too blinding and violent for the geese to fly or see their way. They were stranded on his farm with no food or no shelter, unable to do more than just flutter their wings and fly around in circles. They couldn't even get off the ground. And the farmer had compassion for the geese. And he wanted to help them. So he thought to himself, my barn is so big and it would be such a wonderful place for them to take shelter. It would give them warmth and food and it would take care of them for the night. And then they could be on their way tomorrow. So he thought, this is a great idea. So he opened up the barn doors. He waited, watching, hoping they would notice the open barn and go inside, but they didn't notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. So he moved closer to them to get their attention. This farmer's trying. He comes up to them closer to get their attention, but they just moved away from him because they're scared of him. They moved out of fear. He went to the house. He even said, "Oh, I got a better idea. I'm going to get over the house and I'm going to get the bread. And I'm gonna go out there and throw it as far as I can, and I'm gonna make a path all the way to the barn, and they'll follow it. Surely they will. They'll follow it. I'll make a bread trail." But they still didn't catch on. And he was starting to get frustrated this time. And then he went over to the geese, and then he went over and tried to shoo them in. Oh, that didn't work. They just panicked and ran everywhere. So then he thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to start over." Nothing he did could get them into the barn where there was warmth, safety, and shelter. Feeling totally frustrated, he exclaimed, "Why don't they just follow me? Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm? How can I possibly get them into one place to save them?" And he thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. He said to himself, "How can I possibly save them? The only way would be for me to become like those geese. If only I become like one of them, then I could save them. I could speak to them in their own language, and they could understand me. They would follow me, and I would lead them to safety." At that moment, he stopped and considered what he had said. The words going through his mind, "If only I could become like one of them, then I could save them." And then at last, he understood God's heart towards mankind. That's what Christ did for us. We wouldn't follow. He had to become like one of us in order so that we would understand. Born of a virgin and a carpenter, lowly manger. He didn't come in. He didn't come in on some high horse or anything. He came at the very bottom. He said, that moment in the snow, the farmer had understood God's heart, and he fell on his knees in the snow and he worshiped him. John 1:14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Christ is with us today. That we, all we have to do is keep our eyes on Him. When we, the parable of the lost sheep, I hope is better to you now, because God gave us the greatest gift of all when He gave us Jesus. That we're all that lost sheep. And remember, when we stray away, and when you've drifted too far from that center point of where you're supposed to be with Christ, and you come back, you repent, there's more rejoicing in heaven than you can ever imagine. Think about that and what that means to your life and how you apply that. And when you think about those words, when you think about the words of Christ, I know this is our last week of 2021. Last week. What are you going to do different this week? Will something drastically change for you in 2022? We don't know. 2021 has been a ride, hasn't it, Kate? I'm just telling you to always be ready, because our Lord and Savior's coming back. He's coming back. Remember what I told y'all last week too? A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Martha Kate pointed out a nice set of scriptures to me that I've preached, that I've said before. But she said, it was amazing that God knows the very numbers of hairs on our head. He knows us that intently, that discreetly, that intimately He knows us. I hope that today that I've made God's word more clear today than you've heard it before when it comes to a parable. He even backs it up again the second time right there. Look at the parable of the lost coin. Repeats the same story. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp? She sweeps the house? She searches carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Christ has given us the most wonderful example that He could ever give us. And a lot of times I know that we all feel like that crumpled up $100 bill that's been thrown in the toilet or in the gutter and flushed and brought back out, that we all feel wore down and beat down. But remember, Christ is there for us. Amen. We can pray every day. We can talk to Him anytime we want. We can worship with Him anytime we want. Some of Paul's epistles written in prison. Could you imagine? Prison of all things. I know yesterday each and everybody in here received a present of some sort or something small, whatever the case may have been. And I hope you thought to yourself, just how blessed we are. Just how blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your Son. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus. Let's close up today. Father God, Lord, a lot of times we feel like that farmer, Father God. And Lord, a lot of times, dear Lord, we understand exactly when You're trying to make Your point to us. That, Lord, we just need to follow You. God, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Father, to not be hard-headed, to not get swept up in the things around us, but just to keep our eyes directly on you, to follow you, Father God, even when it doesn't make sense, Father. We know, God, and when problems and dilemmas arise in our life, dear Lord, we know that you have us, Father God, and we pray, God, that you will just watch over us. Pray, God, that you would just keep your hands directly on top of us, that you'll lead us. And when we're not sure of the way to go, Father God, we just stop. We stop and we wait, dear Lord, for your direction. I ask, God, that you be with each and every person, family, child represented in here this morning, dear God. That, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate, as we celebrated your birthday yesterday, thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, so that we, Lord, could spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray, God, that you will be with us as a church. God, with our Lottie Moon, as Lord, we just want to keep raising it, Father God, to be right at our goal, right where we need to be. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it is these most things that I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. Sister Leslie's going to prepare just as I am this morning. I want you to come on up. I want everybody to stand. I hope everybody has a wonderful New Year's that's coming up week. Pray that everybody's careful. Anything else to add to that? Be safe. Just as I am. Altar's wide open if you'd like to come down and pray this morning. Myself, Brother Trey, Brother James, whoever, we need to get down here. Whatever the Lord's laying on your heart, don't delay. Maybe you need to accept Christ for the first time. Maybe you just need to pray at the altar. Maybe you want to join the church. Whatever it is, whatever's on your mind, come today. Unbear it. Give it to God. Let him handle it.
Hymn 435.